Welcome back to the DLH Insights podcast. My name is Porter. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the Corporate Social Responsibility Specialist. The DLH Insights podcast is here to provide you deeper insight into the goings on across the enterprise. We've got a lot of exciting guests here today. So I'm very, very happy to have both Catherine Robin and Alberto Ramirez here with me today. Catherine is the Director of Field Operations and Reporting for the Head Start program here at DLH, and Alberto is the Deputy Project Director for Head Start as well. So welcome, Catherine and Alberto. Thank you so much for joining me today. I would love if both of you could start by introducing yourselves for our listeners.
Hi, Porter. Thank you for having me. I am Catherine Robin. As you said, I am the Director of Field Operations and Reporting on the Head Start contract. I've been in the Head Start world since about 2005. I am from New Orleans, Louisiana, so I want to say go Pelicans, go Saints. I'm so happy to be a part of the Minor Team contract, and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, Catherine. And Alberto.
Yeah, thank you, Porter. I'm Alberto Ramirez, Deputy Project Director on the DLH Head Start Monitoring Compliance Contract. I live in Los Angeles and I work remotely from here. Been on the DLH contract about 2.5 years now, and I've been working with or in Head Start programs since 2007.
Awesome. So a wealth of information from both of you for this particular program. Thank you so much for the history and experience that you bring to this program. I know our listeners are going to learn so much about Head Start today. So I think we should start off and help our listeners understand what Head Start is. Can you guys kind of start there and give us a brief overview of what the program looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. Catherine, I'm gonna speak on this a little bit from like this kind of administrative perspective, but you know, there's many ways to answer this question. What is Head Start? I'll just give you a little context about what its origins, so to speak. Head Start is a comprehensive program designed to meet the emotional, social, health, nutritional, and educational needs of preschool children and families, specifically in low-income families. Yes. It was founded long ago, over almost 60 years ago, by President Johnson on his war on poverty under the Economic Opportunities Act of 1964. Originally, Porter and Catherine, you know this because you've been in the Head Start a long time. Head Start began as an 8-week summer program to demonstrate, see if it could affect breaking the cycle of poverty. And since those humble beginnings, it's grown into this full, you know, a program that's 60 years later. Some of the wonderful parts about all, I mentioned some of the aspects of Head Start just now, but a key tenet that I think is really important to mention is that the program establishes a cultural responsiveness to the communities that it serves. Similar to, you know, we were talking earlier about the DEIB, that DLH, you know, the initiatives that we have going on at DLH. So there's a lot of connection there. Currently, the program Head Start has served over 38 million children since 1965, which is amazing. All that from from humble beginnings of an 8-week program. It's administered through the Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Office of Head Start. And Head Starts operate in all 50 states, also District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and U.S. territories, including we also serve, Head Start also serves American Indian and Alaskan Native and migrant and seasonal communities. That's kind of a really long-winded answer to what is Head Start, but there's many, many answers. Catherine, if you'd like to add anything to that, please do.
Sure. Yeah, I think something that's important to note since its inception, I mean, Head Start has evolved tremendously, right? While still staying true to its core of providing those comprehensive services, it really has morphed into a program that is very data driven and really looking at outcomes for children and families. So what has this experience been like for children and families? Like, are they better because of it? And research is that they absolutely are, right? They are prepared for kindergarten, for big school, as we call it. Families are working towards self-sufficiency from an economic perspective. And because Head Start utilizes community resources and, you know, uses their dollars effectively, it really has had an impact, a positive impact on the children and families that they've served.
Wow. And you said 38 million children have been impacted?
Yeah, over 38 million children have been served since 1965, not just the children, the families, because it's a very holistic program.
Right, right. That is a lot of families, communities that Head Start is providing for. That's incredible. I didn't realize it was that big of a reach. And then for 60 years, that's quite a legacy coming from just an 8-week summer program. And so is it a year round program now, or is it based on like the school year? What does the program look like now?
Yeah, so programs have the option to serve children based on the needs of the community. So nationally, you may have some programs that operate full day, full year. You may have other programs that are half day. It really is based on every program is required to do a community assessment and to respond to, you know, that community in a way that's impactful for them. So it is not a one size fits all. It is really based on community needs.
Wow, that's incredible. And I love the, so Alberto, you had mentioned the cultural aspect. Can you guys kind of pull the thread on that a little? I'm curious because you mentioned if Head Start is operating in all 50 states and even in territories on reservations, like that is an extremely diverse stakeholder pool of reaching all these families, different communities. So what is the, to the extent that you're aware, what is the cultural preparation like related to Head Start and making sure that Head Start programs are really truly meeting the cultural needs and maybe some of those really unique cultural practices so that they can impact the children in the best way that they can? I'm curious about that.
Yeah. And there's many ways that Head Starts do that. And Catherine mentioned one of the pivotal parts of that is data. The community assessment that is done by every program and updated annually and done every 5 years, it basically says, you know, who is in our community? What languages do they speak? You know, dialects, it breaks it down to that. And there's actually a report, a program information report that's submitted every year to the Office of Head Start that covers all those cultural and linguistic background kind of information that's reported to the Office of Head Start in Congress. So there's a lot of data that's used. And I think people, you know, they know their communities. Programs that get Head Start grants, they know their communities, and they build from that. So, Catherine, is there anything you'd like to add?
Please? Yeah, there's one thing that is very unique to Head Start, and I think other programs around the country are starting to pick up on this. But Head Start has a governing body in the Policy Council. And the Policy Council is made up of parents, either former parents or current parents, so that they are best, they are positioned to really represent their culture, their community, you know, so they have a valuable input in this. And it's part of the governing structure of Head Start. So I think that's very, very unique. And it gives the programs an opportunity to respond to not only the community needs from a socioeconomic standpoint, but also the cultural perspective of families as well, and to incorporate that into the day-to-day programming that in the services that are offered to families.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's kind of, you guys had mentioned the concept of DEIB or diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, and that the concept of nothing for us without us is very common within DEIB. So it sounds like Head Start has really infused that concept of making sure that the culturally appropriate representatives are there at the table and they're making decisions and providing that input. That is a wonderful model to have. And it sounds like it's contributed to the long-term success of the program, because you're not just providing something for people, you're developing it with them. So that's really cool to see in terms of a model and a success story.
You know, something else, Porta, that, you know, is really successful from an anecdotal perspective, like when we are going out conducting monitoring, or we've all been a part of, or Alberta and I have been a part of programming, is that you have a lot of parents that are now serving in the capacity of teacher assistant or teacher.
Sure.
Head Start has provided them opportunities to elevate themselves, to be, you know, part of not only the parental part of the program, but now they are part of the staff. So they provide opportunities for families or parents to go and further their education and support them. And then now they're a teacher or a teacher assistant or a family service worker in the program.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah,
it is. That's really a great thing. Yeah,
that is like an octopus or like a domino effect where, yes, Head Start might have been for kids at the start, but thinking about how that impacts their parents and their family members. And then, oh, now they have a position within the local school system that's providing a benefit for the entire community, and how that grows from there. That's a really cool. I like that it has that domino effect to it where it's just having it that does. Positive impact.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Catherine, you mentioned, use that word we, of when we go out and we're talking and working on it. So I'm curious, so who is we at DLH, and what are DLHers doing to work on the Head Start mission and really impact the program, collect data, reporting? What does that look like for DLHers working here? And then what has maybe been the impact of Head Start on DLHers? What does that look like?
So we have a full-blown team. We have folks that are going out. Some are working remotely, but we are conducting monitoring events that include Focus Area 1 reviews, which are primarily remote. We have Focus Area 2, where folks are actually going on site to collect data, to engage with programs, to learn all about their programs and the wonderful things that they are doing with families. We have class that is it's a montage of all of that. They can do video observations. They go on site. So some of it is virtual, where they're looking at those teacher-child interactions. Mm-hmm. And then we have the other aspect of the work where we're doing RANs and follow-ups, where we are helping programs that, you know, need the extra support because, you know, they've had a couple of situations. So we are, you know, monitoring them as well. We take all of this information and collect data for the Office of Head Start. So we provide that information. So it's not just that grant recipients get a report, but we on the monitoring contract collect all of that data. We provide that information to the Office of Head Start. And what that does, it impacts the funding that programs get. It impacts the technical assistance that program gets and other resources that programs get. And I mean, there are those unfortunate events where if folks are not doing what they need to do in terms of the Head Start program performance standards, then the Office of Head Start is able to use the outcomes of monitoring to make informed decisions whether a program can or should receive funding. So, and that's what we want, right? We want the best for our kids and our families. So the data that we collect definitely helps to inform at a national level.
Yeah, very data centric program. Yes, like that sounds incredible that you have so many layers of data collection, but then the analysis and really applying the trends that you're seeing and understanding how to improve based off of the data. That sounds like a big ecosystem to sift through.
But I will say, just in terms of monitoring, like monitoring used to be, or folks, you know, who are not as familiar think it's a gotcha and folks get really nervous. And our team has really taken a lot of time and, you know, to make programs feel comfortable, you know what I mean? To make this a very friendly yet focused, you know, monitoring event, right? We want programs to feel comfortable to share their stories, to share their data, you know what I mean? And we work in tandem with the Office of Head Start to say, hey, this is not a gotcha moment. This is really an opportunity so that you can get the supports that you need, or that you can share all of the best practices and the wonderful things that you're doing, so that that can also be used to help fellow grant recipients as well. So, I mean, the impact is it ranges the gamut, you know, the spectrum of what can be done to help programs.
Yeah, it sounds like almost DLH has kind of taken the model of what Head Start has used, where you're really listening, you're building those relationships. It sounds relationship first with the families and the communities. And it sounds like DLH is doing the same thing, where this isn't like a gotcha, like you said, but this is an opportunity to make this stronger for the kids. Like, this is such a mission driven program in general. Like, you are making direct impact on 38 million children. Like, that's a huge impact and an extreme accomplishment So it sounds like the attention to detail, that relationship building, is just absolutely paramount in order to make this the best program that it can continue to be after 60 years, I think you said. That's amazing.
Yeah. And if I could add one more thing, and I know Alberto will add to this. We at DLH on the Head Start contract, we take this information. We not only share the data with the Office of Head Start, but we internally use the data, right, to support, you know, our own program improvements. Like our training department is using that information to say, what are the things that we need to train on? What are the opportunities for us to be a better unit from a contract perspective so that we can be the best for the Office of Head Start? So we're taking all of that information, we're analyzing it, we are making decisions in terms of staffing, we're making decisions in terms of what needs to be, what we need to train on, you know, and those type of things. So we're using that data in multitudes of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Alberto, do you have anything that you'd like to share?
I think Catherine has covered it beautifully. And the only thing I will add is because it's federal funding, there are regulations. There's a Head Start Act and there's Head Start Performance Standards that say this is what you need to do to ensure quality. But as Catherine mentioned, it's not a gotcha. We're monitoring based on those regulations, but also based on a protocol that's designed by DLH. And we're looking at compliance. Yes, that's true. There's a bar, but also strong practices. That's something that was added this year to see, like, what are Head Start programs across the country doing? That's really wonderful. Strong practices that can be replicated. So really looking at it from a strength-based lens as much as a compliance lens as well. So it's really great work that DLH is doing around the monitoring of Head Start programs.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds very holistic and really at the core of everything. It's just the impact and remembering that these are real human communities. These are real children, real families that will be directly, indirectly impacted. And providing all of that excellence, that performance excellence, is going to make a difference. So we have a couple minutes left. And so I do want to transition. We've been talking so much about this impact, this mission idea, and you guys shared how much Head Start has really made an impression on children, families, and communities. So I was wondering if you could leave our listeners with a personal story, like if you've had like a favorite moment working on Head Start. And I'm sorry, you're going to have to pick only one for the purposes of this episode. But do you guys have one that you'd like to share where I can see it right now because we're on camera. You guys have so much heart in the work that you're doing. And you're so, when we were talking about even planning this episode, there was so much energy going on of just how passionate you are about Head Start. So I was wondering with the few minutes we have left, if you guys could each share maybe a personal story or memory from working with Head Start.
You want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead, Catherine.
Okay, so I have had many memorable moments, so I'll try to encapsulate it. I came from programming, and I got to touch the lives of children and families, like, you know, directly. And when I moved to the contract or at a national level, I thought that would be different. And in a lot of ways, it is. But I will say the greatest thing for me has been to see the Office of Head Start leadership, our DLH folks, come together. And really, as you said, this is really about children and families. And we never lose focus of that. This is a fast moving contract, but at the core of everything that we do in every monitoring event, every review, we never lose focus of those children and families. Mm-hmm. And that has been it's been a really great opportunity for me coming from program to see not only what happens in program at the direct ground level, but it triples up to the national level where, you know, the caring, the support, we want the money to go to the right places. We want the resources to get to the families. So the passion is just it's all over. And that has been really impactful to me, just to be engaged with OHS leadership and to know that this passion is real. This is not it's not a business. We know that we're impacting lives, and we take that very seriously every single day, and that the work what we do reflects that.
For our listeners, you can't see Catherine, but she's beaming right now. Thank you, Catherine. Alberto, how about you?
Yeah, thank you for that, Catherine. I echo what Catherine said, and I just want to share a quick anecdote. I recently had the opportunity to shadow an FA2 review in Northern Arizona for an American Indian Alaska Native program. It was a wonderful experience. We got to be on the reservation. We got to engage with the children and teachers and the program as a whole and learn a lot about the culture. And so one of the wonderful things, and Porter, you and I have had some sidebars about the AIAN American Indian Alaska Native programs, is they really talk a lot about cultural and language preservation. It was just a really wonderful experience. It was amazing and took a lot away from that visit. I learned a lot and had a whole new appreciation for American Indian Alaska Native programs as a whole, but also Head Start as a whole and the work that our monitoring team did a wonderful job on that review. And that's just the most recent experience, but it really kind of galvanized my thoughts about the promise of Head Start. I believe in Head Start. Catherine believes in Head Start. We believe in Head Start and promise of Head Start. And I think that's why we do the work we do every day.
Oh, that's awesome. There's so much love coming from Catherine and Alberto right now for all our listeners. I hope you're feeling that if you're listening and maybe you didn't even realize that DLH was involved with Head Start, just the incredible impact. And I think, Alberto, your example is such a testament to the real intention that goes on. I'm sure the evolution of the cultural awareness has been really interesting over the 60 years of Head Start, but just to see where it is now, where you have that cultural preservation, encouraging, empowering those communities to embrace their culture, to feel like they can be a part of it, and really also set themselves, their families, and the rest of the communities up for success long term. So I think that's a fantastic story. So thank you both so very much for providing that information. And then, of course, your personal passion into the projects. We are out of time today, but I hope that our listeners have learned a lot about Head Start. I certainly did. And I hope that some of our DLHers feel encouraged to reach out to both of you, Catherine and Alberto, to learn more and just see what the impact has looked like. It sounds like you guys enjoy talking about Head Start. So if anyone hits you up for coffee, I think that will be a wonderful connection to make so that you guys can brag about Head Start and all of the amazing impact that you guys have had a hand in. So thank you personally from the bottom of my heart for putting in all that energy. Catherine, you mentioned this was a fast-paced program. I'm sure there were so many layers that you guys touched on. It sounds complex. There's a lot of data, a lot of work that goes on. But thank you so much for putting that energy in to make this program the best that it can be and continue to impact the children and families that it was meant to from the start. So thank you both very much, and the rest of the Head Start team that isn't on the episode for us right now, but I really appreciate it. I think this is fantastic work that will last for hopefully a very long time into the future and provide that support. So thank you both.
Thank you, Porter. And if there's one big takeaway, is that Head Start changes lives for the better.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So thank you guys very much. To our listeners, we hope that you provide some insight into the Head Start program for us at DLH, and you can start some conversations off of it. If you have any insights from DLH, we want to hear about it. So if you have any ideas for future episodes on the podcast, please reach out to me personally. Myself and the DLH DEIB Council would love to help support you to be either a guest or explore a certain topic. So looking forward to the next episode with everyone, and I'm wishing everyone health and safety. And that's a wrap. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.